We are continuing now with part two of Millennium, the Masterpiece of Deception. A counterfeit Messiah and a counterfeit Second Coming. Christ warned, if they say to you, there is Christ, don't believe them. He said that the deceiver, the Antichrist, would deceive, if possible, the very elect. That means that this deception is going to be really subtle and well planned. It means that it's going to take in most of the believers out there. Most believers. And most believers, evangelical and Hebrew root, expect that when Messiah returns in glory, he will immediately set up his kingdom on this earth, where they believe he will rule for 1,000 years of peace. But what if that is not correct? What if Christ will not set up his kingdom on the earth until after the seventh millennium? And what if a Messiah figure does appear, a glorious, powerful being, maybe even shining, who begins to rule? I know you're thinking, oh, that would be Antichrist, you know, we'll recognize him. Okay, but what if Satan sent in a counterfeit Antichrist so then he could show up to overthrow him? You know, maybe an Islamic Antichrist. Maybe Islam as the terrible beast. Even the average man on the street knows that there's supposed to be 7 last plagues at the end of this age. But not very many of them understand that the 7 trumpets come before the 7 bowls of wrath. And the trumpets are almost like the plagues, except that the trumpets are not universal, and the bowls of wrath, the 7 last plagues, are universal. I was studying one day and asking the Lord, what's with a third of everything? Third of the trees, third of the grass, third of the rivers, what's with a third of everything? And I heard the voice in my mind, and it just said his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. And I went, oh, that's Satan. That's Satan. Are these trumpets Satan's counterfeit plagues in order to deceive the nations, in order to deceive even the very elect? So then he can appear as Messiah in a rebuilt temple on the mount? Matthew 24:15 and 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4 say, the abomination of desolation. Who's that? That's Satan himself. Will stand in the holy place. Where's the holy place? It's on the mount. It's that temple. 1 Samuel 2:32, a prophet of God came to Eli, prophesied the end of his priestly line, said, you have flouted, made void the covenant by your actions, by your disobedience. You've honored your sons more than me. You should have ordered your sons executed for the things they've been doing. And then the prophet of God said to Eli, you will see an enemy in my dwelling place. That was a prophecy. That was a prophecy. And I believe that current teaching is preparing the way, because there are teachers saying that the last bowl judgments, they're not universal. They're limited to just the land, meaning the land of Israel. I think this is preparing the way. It's preparing the way. I think the trumpets will indeed hit the land of Israel, the Middle East. Four messengers bound for the river Euphrates to kill a third of mankind. That's Revelation 9, verse 14 and 15. About everyone on the planet is expecting a Middle East war. Well, what if a humble, soft-spoken, you know, lamb-like, charismatic man were to appear in a newly rebuilt temple on the mount after these trumpet plagues? What if he kicked out, overthrew an evil dictator, maybe a Muslim? And what if he made fire come down from heaven in the sight of men? Would you believe him? Would you believe him? Matthew 24, verse 15 to 23. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Don't go back for anything, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then, okay, in this context, when you see this, then, right after that, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, don't believe him. Don't believe him. The Antichrist is said to take away the daily sacrifice in order to set up the abomination that causes desolation. That's Daniel 11:31, Daniel 12:11, Daniel 9:27. This scenario requires a temple, and it requires the restoration of sacrifices, and I believe that's exactly what's going to happen. The abomination of desolation must sit as God in the temple of God. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. So a third temple will be raised up on the mount in Jerusalem. It'll be modeled after the temple shown to Ezekiel in vision. But I got news for you. It will be a counterfeit. Ezekiel's temple is not raised up until the whole house of Israel is resurrected and returned to the land. We have to have a huge resurrection. And I have tried to explain why this cannot happen until the eighth day. The temple cannot be cleansed and consecrated until the eighth day. The eighth day is the eighth millennium. You know, either I am deceived or self-deceived, or this is really serious. And because I'm saying something that no one else is saying out there. Our Star Trek generation is prepared for the appearance of a beneficent alien. How many times have we seen it on Star Trek? That they go in and they help a planet that's on the verge of collapse and chaos, and they appear to help the people. Our Star Trek generation is primed for this. And when this counterfeit Messiah appears, he won't just be the Jewish Messiah. To the Christian, he'll be Christ. To the Muslim, he'll be the Imam Mahdi. To the Hindu, he'll be the 10th great avatar. He's going to fit everyone's scenario. To the atheist, he'll just be a beneficent alien. You know, he was almost dead on the cross. He was beamed up to the starship and revived. And now he's returning to help our planet. The beast power is given authority over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Revelation 13, 7 to 8 and verse 16. It says, all who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The false prophet of Revelation 13, verses 11 to 18, he's a religious figure, and he will encourage all men to cooperate with this beast system. He will prepare the way for this false Messiah, just as John the Baptist prepared the way for the true Messiah. Only those who hear the Lamb speaking to them will recognize this counterfeit Messiah as the abomination, because he will demand that they break the commandments of God. That's why the saints living during the time of Babylon and Antichrist, they're described as those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. That's Revelation 14:12. You suppose they'll target the Sabbath, which was the heart of the covenant? Are you ready for such a deception? He's going to deceive the whole world. There will probably be a counterfeit battle of Armageddon, a Gog Magog type battle for Jerusalem, maybe Islamic forces along with Russian and whatever. They will attack Jerusalem. They may even rule from the mount for a short time. And in this attack, the dome on the mount will be destroyed, and that will leave the way open for a third temple. And then I believe Satan himself may actually appear to save Jerusalem by making fire come down from heaven. And when the new temple is completed, over 70 weeks, of course, the abomination of desolation will indeed stand in the holy place, claim to be Christ's return. He'll claim to be God, and he will demand worship. And the whole world will worship him, except those who hear Christ speaking to them, who are filled with his spirit, who are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, I've heard teachers lately saying that the Gog-Magog battle takes place before the second coming, but if you just read Revelation 20, it's, I don't know, am I just dense? Doesn't it seem from Revelation 20 that the battle doesn't take place until after the 1,000 years of the seventh millennium? There's only two places in scripture that talk about the Gog-Magog battle. One is Revelation 20 and one is Ezekiel. But they're talking about the same battle. The current nation of Israel will be used of Satan as the focal point of this grand deception. Many, many are saying that this present nation of Israel is fulfilling the promise of return to the land. They see this Israel as dry bones brought back to life. But the present nation of Israel does not fulfill the prophecies of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. This return is not something greater than the original Exodus. It's not a return brought about by miracles like plagues in the land, opening of the Red Sea, water from a rock, manna from heaven. This is just a persecuted, war-weary people fighting their way into a portion of the ancient homeland promised to Abraham. The throne hasn't been restored to the son of David. The lion doesn't lie down with the lamb. I think we have to look to the future after the second coming for a full and forever deliverance of the whole house of Israel. Because the whole house of Israel will include all of those grafted in through Messiah. Up to this point, those Jews who admit to belief in Christ as Messiah, they're actually denied immigration. And the whole house of Israel is going to include all of those who died in covenant. I haven't seen any great resurrection of you. The people who believe that Messiah will reign on this earth during the approaching seventh millennium, those who believe that Messiah will rule the nations who survive the last plagues, those who believe that the faithful today should go up to a third temple at Jerusalem, those who believe they should offer up animal sacrifices there, I'm sorry, but I believe they are being set up. They're being sucked into the deception. The Lord is not there. But an imposter will indeed stand in that place. Now, please know that I do believe that the Jews deserve a homeland. They've been persecuted and despised for almost 2,000 years, and I think it is right and appropriate that they be given at least some portion of their ancestral home. I also know that most Jews living in Israel today, the nation, are secular. That is, they are non-believers. And this has left them open to being used of Satan for his purpose of deception. And remember, the evil one's masterpiece, it'll be so perfect that only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who are illumined by the Spirit of Christ, are going to see through this deception and refuse to worship this being who appears there or to take his mark. Daniel asked the angel, "How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" In other words, how long is this persecution going to go on and this defilement? Daniel 12, verse 7, the angel said, "When the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things will be finished." The power of the Lord's people is their witness through his Holy Spirit. When the people are prevented from witnessing to the truth, either by imprisonment or death, that's when it's finished. When no one else can be won by the truth, that's when it's finished. And I believe that in that day, many will die for the truth. I want to make a point here because I have heard various Messianic and Hebrew roots teachers dismiss the idea that the redeemed will leave this earth during the seventh millennium. They say that Christ has gone to prepare a place for us only in the sense of our legal adoption into the family of God. But you know, we're already adopted. We've been grafted in. Because Galatians 3:7 says that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, occasionally I see a typo here I need to go back and fix. I believe that Yeshua has gone, and there are many verses that say he has returned to the Father, so he has returned to heaven. I believe that he has gone to prepare a literal place. A literal place. John 14, verse 2 and 3. That literal place is called the Holy City. Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he would after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's our home. That city. Hebrews 12:22. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly New Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So where's our home? The holy city. It's Mount Zion. It's the city of the living God. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So who resurrected Christ from the dead? His Father. 2, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not pass away. Where's that inheritance? Reserved in heaven for you. Where's our home? The holy city. Where's the holy city? In heaven. It is reserved in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place. Where's that place? The holy city. Colossians 1, verse 4. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. It's in that city. In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? Heaven. Where's our citizenship? Heaven. Where's the place he's gone to prepare? The holy city. Where's the holy city? Heaven. You kind of see where I'm going with this. Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So, Revelation 20. After the 1,000 years of the seventh millennium, after the Gog Magog, comes the great white throne judgment, and following this last final great judgment, the heaven and earth are made new. They are renewed. Only then, only when every trace of sin and death has been wiped out, only then does John see the new Jerusalem descend to earth from heaven. This city is the bride of Christ, meaning every redeemed citizen of that city. Where are we citizens? In heaven. In that city, we are longing, looking for, and seeking that city. In that city, There'll be no temple. Says God and the Lamb are the temple in that city. The temple which Ezekiel saw, Ezekiel's temple, the eighth day kingdom of Messiah temple for all of those raised in that last great resurrection who still need a buffer between themselves and God, that temple is destroyed in the Gog-Magog battle. It's outside of the city. Ezekiel 45, verse 6. You know, the area for the New Jerusalem covers not only all the area promised to Abraham and more, it will be 345 miles on each side and 345 miles high. It's going to go up into the, past the stratosphere. Personally, I believe it is a portal between earth and heaven, between the physical dimension and the spirit dimension. Our home is in heaven. We wait for our Savior to come for us. He will take us to that city where we will be prepared to serve as priests of God and of Christ. During that time, the seventh millennium, the earth will rest in desolation. Please do email me your comments. I appreciate them so much. It was a comment from a friend of mine who got me thinking about all those scriptures which say that heaven is our home, that we look for it from heaven. So I appreciate it so much. Shalom and blessings.